We started this series when we finished Thessalonians. I decided that I keep hearing about mental health. And it's out there, a lot of mental even illness out there. And I thought, you know, when something is this loud in our culture, what we need to do is take it and run it through the scripture. We need to run it through God's word because he's the author of life, right? And so I believe everything, I just want to know, God, what do you say about this subject? And even beyond what the research would tell us. A lot of people choose their own experiences over even what the Bible says. Bad move. People tell me that all the time. Like I'll show them in the Bible how something lines up or how something they said or did was wrong. And they'll be like, yeah, but you can't deny that really happened to me. I'm not denying that it didn't happen to you, but I will deny that if it's valid or not. I will deny if it's truth. The Bible's the book of truth. And so we can have experiences, and sometimes just because we experience something, you know, we like to think that, well, that's truth. This really happened to me. Well, yeah, I'm not saying it didn't. I'm not saying you're a liar, but I will take it through God's word and I will line it up to see if that was from God or not. That's a big one. A lot of times people want to feel something. They immediately just say, well, God did that to me. They get goosebumps and says, yeah, man. And I've heard people, I got God bumps right now. How do you know that's God? I was 12 years old and I watched the worst horror movie in my life. I'm in a dark house and I go upstairs, man. I had God bumps all night long. Well, that wasn't God bumps. I just scared myself to death, you know, but it was real. It was like really real, man. I was like terrified. So guys, we're Christians. We run everything through the Bible, but it's hard, right? It's very hard, man, because the Bible goes right to the point. You know, the Bible don't beat around the bush, man. It goes right into the heart of the issue. And so talking about mental health, we've had to hear some hard things for sure. And I know, you know, I believe that people have different DNAs. I mean, you grew up in a house. You know, well, both gals today talked about some of their growing up, and you're like, boy, that's horrifying. That'd mess you up, wouldn't it? Yes, it would mess you up more than you're already messed up. Because we're born messed up. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all born in sin. We don't have a fighting chance. See, we got a body, soul, and a spirit. And the Bible says that when mankind chose sin at the beginning, now we're all born with this spirit inside. But it's unfulfilled. It is dead. It desperately needs to be filled, so we live life to fill that. And it always turns out wrong because there's only one, you know, it's like, you ever put together a real busy puzzle like it's got all these thousands of pieces? I've literally put a piece like, there it is, I found it. So you got that little piece and you keep working it just to discover later on you're like, man, that looked like it belonged, but I guess it doesn't. You know, because sometimes it fits about right, but it don't make the big picture work, you know. And so this is where we need God's word. And so I hope you're encouraged to know that God takes chaos and he puts order to it. It started off, everything was in order. But once sin hit the planet, guys, everything's in chaos. Like I had a girl tell me yesterday, you know what she said? She said, this world is crazy. I was like, yeah, it sure is. Mainly because we're in it. You know, we're human beings, and isn't it crazy? And then we all got our own opinions, like all trying to make it work. It's like, my gosh, we need some boundaries, don't we? We need to know what's the truth here. We need the umpire. We need the referees, man. Without them, we're in deep trouble, right? And so, because then we're going to just do things the way we want to. So we started this whole series out talking about how everything was chaos and how God means to bring order to it. And I'm here to tell you, even though the inside of man is dead, once you receive religion, there's only two of them in the world, right? Do and done. Religion's like what you do, or the Bible says it's what Jesus Christ has already done. He died, took our sins on the cross, died a horrible death, 3 days later resurrected to prove himself to be God. Do versus done. Everybody tries the do part, and it never fulfills, right? And so that's what we've been looking at. So you meet Jesus Christ, and then he says, now you begin the process. Do you realize three things when Jesus died he left us with? Three things. He left us with his spirit inside. He put his Holy Spirit inside of us. And then he left us with the church, a group of people to do life with than the Bible. Those three things will make us healthy. We've got to have those things into effect. That's why people can be a Christian and have the Spirit inside, and some people go to church. They're lacking. They need to be in the Word. That's how God speaks. Other people, I've seen other people say, you know, what they always say to me is like, you don't need the church to be saved. Well, I never said that. You need Jesus Christ to be saved. But to be healthy and growing, to be healthy, yes, you do need the church. And I know people out there don't go to church and they read the Bible. They're pretty spiritual people. They're just missing part. That's all. They're missing it. They could be healthier if they chose to be. And so we've been digging into this a little bit and talking about how the lost mind, when our mind was lost, the Bible says when you don't retain God in your knowledge, Romans 1:28, God will give you over to a reprobate mind. Our minds are garbage. Right? That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, the Bible's called the mind of Christ. This is the brains of God. It's the brains of Jesus Christ. You want to know what he thinks about a subject? Oh, you can ask him, but go searching. He said you'll find it. Right here is his opinion on the matter. It's the Bible. And so people that don't retain God in their knowledge, they're off. And guys, some people are good and moral. Not everybody's going down like this path that looks like a train wreck. But the Bible says it doesn't matter. Because wrong is wrong. And if 1,000 people believe a foolish thing, it's still a foolish thing. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't retain God in our knowledge, if it doesn't include God's word, then it's wrong. It's off. You're not going to hit the bullseye. And things that get close to the bullseye and the target, it's funny, they'll tell me something, or here's what worked for me. I'm like, that's funny. That's a principle in the Bible. I've seen people even have success in their like business or their finances. They'll tell me like how they operate, and I'm like, that's in the Bible. The Bible has it. You didn't even know you were doing that, but you were lining up with the Bible. No wonder that thing was working, right? So we need God's Word desperately, and in times like this, we desperately need the Bible. I heard this guy wrote a new book, and yesterday he was talking about it, and they're asking like some things he did in his life to get a little bit healthier. And this guy is not a Christian man, but he's a successful businessman. And he said, you know what I finally did? He goes, when we hit COVID time, he goes, I had a purpose in my heart to shut off the news. It was plaguing me with fear. Everything it talked about, everywhere in the world the camera would go, it was something like tragic, something bad. He goes, and I remember we're in the midst of COVID, and all of a sudden that article came out about killer wasps. They're coming. They're already over in Africa. People are dying of them, and they're over here now. He goes, and I was listening to that because I'm sitting at my desk going, oh my gosh, killer wasps, you know. And then he said it took him a while to realize, I got to shut this noise off. This is crazy. And so he shut off the news. So isn't that crazy? We're conditioned. The world will sell us everything. That's why social media, internet, TV, all that stuff exists just to sell us something. And it sells us on a mindset. And if they can just get you in fear, then you buy their product. That's all that marketing is, by the way. Marketing is just that. You got to solve somebody's problem. We should think that same way as a church. What problem are we supposed to solve? Because if you can convince somebody to have a problem, then they're going to want to buy your stuff. That's what everybody does. They'll buy the book. They'll get a free chapter. Get the ebook, and if you like it, then you subscribe. Take this, do that. And they sell us on something. And they'll sell us that something is wrong here, and I need to do something about it. Well, let's go to the book. Let's go to the Bible. It's going to tell us the truth, right? So God promises you and me that he'll give us a new mind, a brand new mind. We can renew our mind with his word. So I've only got a couple weeks left to talk about this subject in the Bible on mental health. I've looked up every verse the Bible has on the mind, every verse the Bible says on the heart or the inside of mankind, and put together the results, you know. So here's what I want to do today. Assuming that you know Christ, assuming that people have already met Jesus Christ. So this message today is really going to be heavily pointed towards a believer, towards people that already know Jesus, they believe the Bible. And so there's three things that a saved mind should really get down. And I put them in the form of W so that we can remember the three. And the first one is I want you to know in the New Testament, the Bible gives five warnings for the mind. So let me start with that. 5 warnings in the New Testament that we get about the mind that we need to be really, really careful of. Now, the first one's going to sound like an obvious when I say it, so don't throw a tomato at me yet. I'll give you that option towards the end. The first warning the Bible says, it warns us against sin. It warns us against wrongdoing, anything that the flesh desires. And the Bible says this in Romans 7 and verse 23. If you're quick in your Bible, you can go ahead and flip there. Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. It says this. Well, look at verse 22. 22 says this, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I delight in the law of God on the inside, right? And then verse 23 says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So there's a war going on. And the Bible warns us here. There's something that's going to war against God's law in our brains, and it's sin. When you choose to disobey or go against the Bible, it's super dangerous. You know how dangerous it is? The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, "Be very careful. There's a weight and a sin that easily besets us." There's a desire that goes contrary to the Bible, things that we might like, but it's not good for us. This would be the equivalent of Terry playing drums with 10-pound wrist weights on. Now, practice, that might not be a bad deal. That way, if he has to play for 6 hours one night, he'd be like, "Whoo!" He'd be flying like a feather, wouldn't he? Every song would be twice as fast as it should be. But it's going to be hard to do. There's a weight that easily besets us. One time, I had a flatbed truck, and I was doing a job, and a guy said, "Man, I need gravel put all around this commercial building for water drainage." I was like, I was desperate for money. I said, "I can do that." I took my truck, and I remember I went and to this quarry, and I said, "Hey, man, I had some wooden sides on this flatbed." I said, "Fill me up with rock." He goes, "How much?" I said, "Well, let's see how it works, you know." So he put the first big old scoop in there. I was like, "Oh, I could feel it, man." And, you know, when that thing starts doing this, it's like getting a pallet of shingles. One time I got a pallet of shingles. I said, "Heck, put another pallet on there. I'll take it." They put another pallet on, and by this time I'm like, "Hey, maybe you want to take that last pallet off." You know, I had so much weight that day I got that gravel. I remember spooking myself a couple times because I would hit a bump. And, like, I would hit a bump, and I was like, "Woo." You know, here's this old pickup truck. The steering wasn't real smooth. And, man, them front wheels, I was like, "Man, the steering's beautiful in this thing, isn't it?" Dude, your tires ain't touching the road. You know, there's a problem. And so let me tell you something. Too much weight will not allow you to steer in life correctly. And so this is exactly what the Bible says about sin and the weight that easily besets us. And, guys, you know it. It comes in the form of habits. It comes in the form of, a lot of times, just desires. I desire, and guys, in our culture, it can be a many of things, and it's not going to be the same for everybody. And I'm not just talking about cocaine here. I'm not talking about just cigarettes. People want to, you know, talk about those type of things. It could just be, you know, you're on Facebook way too much, that you're neglecting things that should be done. And that becomes a weight that just easily besets you. You're not as healthy and as good as you could be so the Bible warns against that. Sin and carnality. And by the way, you know why Facebook's so dangerous? Is because it's a comparison game. I look on there and I'm pretty convinced after a while everybody's posting pictures of their anniversary dinner. And I'm like, they're happy. And then I find one, I'm like, I know that couple. They're not happy. Well, they're happy in those pictures. They're posing something that... Be careful of it, right? The carnal mind, Romans 8:6 says, is death. Carnal means fleshly. It's like, you know, like carnage, like meat. That's what flesh. It's deadly for Christians. We got to be careful of feeding that too much. You know how it is. You just get fat, right? I'm not saying nothing's wrong with Doritos, but a bag a night, not good. Not good. Well, it is good. It's not good. Because eventually it becomes weight. Ephesians 2:3 says, "Be careful, do not fulfill the desires of the flesh." Guys, we all have desires, but they're not all godly. And that's what you got to determine. Sometimes you're like, "Oh, I just want to watch this. I just want to veg tonight." Guys, if you're vegging the last 3 nights in a row because you deserve it, the real key for you and me is when we're at work, we produce, right? The boss is looking. We produce. The real key to success is, what do you do when your time is unaccountable? when you're in charge of those hours. So between sleep and dinner and cleaning and doing all that stuff, just say we all have the hour, and it depends. You know, you might have 4 hours really in your day. If you're a mom of young kids, you might have two. Them 2 hours really count. What are you going to do with them? The warning of the Bible is this. For your mental health, you will not be able to steer correctly. I don't know what I was trying to say there. You won't be able to steer that thing right with too much weight. And sin, carnal thinking, if you decide you're going to fulfill your desires, you're going to be a train wreck. You're going to try to turn the corner in your truck, and it's not even going to go anywhere because your tires ain't even touching. So got the warning for our mental health? And maybe we should do this. Let's stop right now. Has God put something on your heart right now? Like, if this is going on, you're like, yeah, this has become a weight in my life. It's not good. You wonder why you're not winning the race? Yeah, you got 25 pounds around each ankle. Dude, that might be good for some training purposes, but not to run the actual race. So maybe, what is it? Maybe you already have something in your mind. This is something that's become a weight to me. This started off innocent here, but it's become something disastrous for me. And guys, some of these things, you know what happens? If you're like me, I got an addictive personality. So I start anything, and before you know it, I want more of it. And I want it to its full potential. I go full bore on it. That can be good with good things, but it also works with bad things for me. And so I got to be very careful the weight that I allow in the bed of my truck, because it affects the way the thing steers, right? Sin and carnality. You ready for number two? Philippians 3:15. I know, guys, it's going to be like a little Bible study because we're going to flip to some scriptures. Are you putting the scriptures up? Okay. Yeah, if you're not quick with the Bible, you can read them up here, but I do recommend using your Bible. I use my phone a lot for my Bible, so when I get the pages of my Bible, I realize, boy, I messed up for some years. I'm like, my gosh. They say, turn to Zechariah. Man, I can scroll and pop, I'm right there. Now I got pages of my Bible. I'm like, Zechariah, is that in the New Testament? That's not a book of the Bible, is it? Yes, it is. You know, get after it. So I recommend doing some flipping if you can. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15, what's it say? Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. Be thus minded. See, a healthy mind. And if in anything ye otherwise be minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so for you and me, we press towards the mark. And I just realized something. I just lost the verse. Forgetting, there it is, verse 13. I'm sorry, geez. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before. See, the principle is this. You don't reach forward while holding on to the past. So this is what he says here, is you got to have this mind, verse 15, let this mind, as many, be thus minded. As, if you're a Christian, you got to be able to let go of the past. The past will plague you. You know, and think of the girls that shared their story this morning. Ask them what happens when they think too much of their past. It brings you down. It drags you down. And all of a sudden, you even begin to even question yourself. Right? We all do that. So not only be careful with the weight you allow into your truck. The second thing for mental health, the warning we get is forget the past. Because there's things that we all regret, right? And the enemy wants us to think about that very often. But he says, and you know what we need to remember? Hey, come tonight. Come to the Lord's Supper tonight, because you know what it's going to be about? We're going to remember Christ. And my sin's been dealt with. That's erased. From God's viewpoint, that's gone because of the blood of Christ, right? His gaze always passes through those rose-colored glasses, man. And forget the past. You got to let go. Hey, now listen, if your past keeps coming up, this is sometimes where counseling can be good. You just meet with a good, godly person that knows the Bible and say, hey, dude, this is all I keep thinking about. It keeps coming up, keeps coming up. You're struggling. It keeps coming. I'm reminded of this. Well, you need to know that that's been redeemed. So sometimes to work through it in the Bible, I'm all about biblical counseling. You got to talk those things out sometimes and find redemption in those things. And I'll tell you, the key to redemption is what both girls said today. The very areas they struggle in, they're going to rescue people that have had the same thing. You know, that's a real key to health. Any program, actually, they steal it from the Bible. You go to any like AA meeting or NA meeting, and eventually you get to a step where they're just like, okay, now you can become like a sponsor to somebody else. And it becomes, all of a sudden, it's part of your health and growth. They got that from the Bible. So forget the past. The third one, I want to show you the third warning in the Bible. Is the Bible says, it's in the book of James, if you want to go there. James chapter 1 and verse 8. And in James 1, 8, he says this. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded. You're unstable. Double-minded. We got to be single-minded. You know what they've proven? It used to be they'd say, if you want to be a success, you want to be a go-getter, you got to multitask. They don't say that anymore. All the success books and all the professionals now are saying, don't do that because you'll do everything half bad. It's the old proverb. The old proverb where it just says, any man that chases two hares loses both. Any woman that's going to chase two rabbits, you'll lose both. It's true. Single focus. So a double-minded man or person is unstable. And so we need to be very careful. It even says in James 4:8, if you're going to purify your hearts, he says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, you're double-minded. And guys, we all have flesh. We do. We all have desires that ain't correct. But we also, as Christians, have good desires, right? And so it makes you a little schizophrenic, doesn't it? I desire this and I know it's wrong for me. I don't know about you, but just like any addict, you know what you're getting into. And you'll do it anyways. And some of you know, man, you're too old to eat those jalapenos. You're too old to eat the mango habanero. You're too old for that. Get off of those chicken wings. But what you think is, you know, it's going to hurt later for sure. But somehow you determine by the taste in here that it's going to be worth it on the back end, right? And you make that call. That's what addicts do. We take temporary pleasure over a pain that's going to, you know, spank us later, you know. My analogies are all the backside. I didn't mean that to happen that way. Matthew chapter 6 says, no man can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You can't serve two. So if we're going to be spiritual people, we got to make better choices. Quit being so double-minded, single-minded. You know, call me a legalist if you want to, but, you know, church is not an option for me. It's not an option for my family. I'm not double-minded on this. I'm single-minded. I need it. It's where I met Christ. It's where I've grown. I can't get away from my tribe of people, or I get a little on the crazy side. I need you. I need the church. See, that's just an example of, like, you know what? And some people would say, it's no big deal. You don't have to say whatever you want to say. I'm just telling you, it's a conviction of mine. I don't want to be double-minded. I want to have standards in my life that are biblical, and I'm going to keep them. I'm not double-minded on that. I'm not going to shake easy on that one. So what is it in your life? You find yourself chasing two? Because you're going to lose on both fronts. You'll never get the success you really want. People like that. We always want the cake and the icing, don't we? We want the cake and I want to eat the whole thing. You know, I want both. I want to be happy. I want to have pleasure. I want to have real joy in my life, real spiritual peace. But I also want to have pure fun. You know, I want every day of my life to be like going to the carnival. But you live a life like that, you know what turns you into? An addict. You'll always seek the fun. Double-minded people, man. I like how it says it. They're unstable in all their ways. Double-minded people are just unstable. So sometimes if you're struggling with your mental stability, maybe think of that. Where's your focus at? What are you after? And maybe you need to say this. I'm not going to chase these two hares, but I'm chasing this one. I'm after this one. And give it everything you got, right? Okay, that's three. Here's the fourth one on the warnings in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. We got 1 Thessalonians down pretty good. Now you can go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 2, and it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, right? He says, man, don't be, and he's talking, there's a whole issue here, context, about the second coming of Christ. But he says, guys, you're shaken in your minds. You're troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. So people were convincing them that Jesus Christ had already come back. And they're like, what? You know, well, they didn't have a completed Bible then, so you get some of it. But the whole point is this. Do not be easily shaken in your mind. And guys, this is a real issue. Anxiety is probably the top one mental health issue going today. And yet the scripture tells you and me, do not be soon shaken in your mind or troubled. You cannot be quickly agitated. You can't be as a Christian. Have you ever been driving down the road and you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're like, panic hits you because you feel the car kind of shaking a little bit and you're like, oh my gosh, do I got a flat tire? First thought you think, oh, is my tire flat? Something's wrong here, you know, and it's funny. You can like immediately go into this mode of like, maybe I should pull over and check it. I've done that before too. And then there's other times I'm like, this asphalt is clean as all get out. Like it's brand new. What's the problem? I'll tell you the problem is you ever get on certain highways in certain places where you're just like, my gosh, somebody was drunk or the laser system they set up on this machinery was off. Cause man, this highway, there was a spot in Galesburg years ago, right near the Cameron. Every time I hit that spot, it jumped me in the ditch, man. I think I'd jump over like 3 foot. I'm like, so then I just got to the point where like, man, that's kind of fun to do that fast, you know, because you're going to go over. But for a long time, you're in the car and I'm thinking, what's wrong, man? Something's wrong. I got a tire. Something's wrong. What's wrong? Do you hear that? Do you feel that? This is rough. It might be the road. But when you're quickly agitated, when you're quick to be shaken, you know, it's kind of like you're in a hurry and you've lost your keys. And immediately your mind like goes to the extreme. You know, you lost your wallet or worse yet, you can't find your cell phone. Dear God, I'm going to die. It's life support, man. And I'm not hooked up to it right now. And so that's how people, we can't be soon shaken about any events. That's why the news can be very dangerous. Like you just immediately think, you know, the phone rings. Get the phone. The girls are driving. They're like, what? You know, you pick up. Hey, Dad, you want some ice cream? Oh, sorry, I thought you were killed. Well, Dad, if I was killed, I couldn't call you. That's a good point. That's a very good point. But we're just so easily shaken. The Bible says, don't be soon shaken about any event. Go to God's word. That's what you do. Let's be stable. Go to God's book. Don't let, because usually when you're soon shaken in mind, it's an emotional shaking because you always think the worst, you know. And like, I'm like, Bo, I better get this phone call, even though we're in a meeting right now, because my wife never calls me at this time. And people say, oh, that just makes sense, don't it? I'm like, hey, Beck, what's wrong? She's like, hey, nothing. She goes, you know, there's a bill that came in. I was like, Beck, I'm in the middle of the meeting. You never call me at this time, but what in God's name? Well, and the whole point, I get off the phone, I'm just like, why did I answer that? If it was an emergency and she calls back three times, then you're like, I got to get this, right? But you immediately go to the spot where I'm like, come on, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm just soon shaken. That's all. I'm just quickly agitated, man. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, the car's falling to pieces, man. Every time I think, you know, it used to be years ago, your car would hit near 100,000 miles and you're like, time for a new one. You know, well, they make things different today, don't they? And it used to always be, yeah, it's got near 100,000 miles. We probably better consider trading it in, you know. Then I'd always go to my aunt's house and my aunt's on my mom's side of the family. Everybody that drove a car there, you'd get inside and they had 278,000 miles, a donut on one tire, you know, like it ran like garbage. And my aunt's just like, yeah, the old girl got me from Carolina up here to, I'm like, you drove that 12 hours? Yeah. It's all I have. I wouldn't do that, but she does it all the time. She's not soon shaken. Ain't that funny? But I'm like, I better trade her in. She's like, come on, dude. Ready for number five? Here's the fifth warning in the New Testament. So we got sin. Watch what kind of weight you put on the vehicle. Forget your past. That's a hard one to do, but with God's word, you'll focus on the future if you can leave that past. Double-minded. You're going to be unstable in all your ways. Don't chase two hares, man, right? Don't be easily shaken. And the last one's going to be, this is kind of a neat one. Go to 2 Timothy 3:8. 2 Timothy 3:8 says this. It speaks of, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. So watch, this is a story back in with Moses. It says, they withstood their leader, and they resist the truth, and they are men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. So signs of somebody that has a corrupt mind. Now, when I say corrupt, don't think about, yeah, that guy, you know what he did. Yeah, he put together this Ponzi scam, like to make $4 million. We think, oh, that dude's corrupt. That dude's got a criminal mind. You know, he's talking about, you know what the word corrupt means? Like, to be corrupt would be like to lower the standards. If the standard's here and you're settling here, that's corrupt. Like perversion. When you hear a pervert, you think of something like, usually on the sexual side. But no, here's the truth. And over here, that's a perversion of the truth. It's not quite accurate. So a corrupted mind is one that lowers the standards. And notice the two things it mentions. Withstanding leadership in your life, they withstood Moses and they resisted the truth. You're corrupt. You have lowered the standards, my friend. And so, practically speaking, like I could speak to youth, like your parents. They're not perfect, but they are your parents. They're your leaders, and you need them. If you are going to withstand them, if you watch a child that's constantly going, when somebody hits the age of close to teenage years, they start thinking a little different towards junior high. They get 12, then teen, 13. That's the number of rebellion in the Bible. They start thinking and second guessing everything their parents say. And guys, usually, you know how it works. Not 100% of the time. I know that because I'm a dad. I'm not 100% accurate, but I will say most of my decisions, I've got some wisdom. I've got years behind me. Besides that, I've been a guy that's been digging in the Bible for 30 years. So that's really, God has taken somebody who's pretty ignorant and don't know and has given me some serious wisdom from above, So withstand, people that withstand their parents, it usually don't fare very well for them, right? It doesn't. And that's what they do, and they're just like, I'm out of here. And then, okay, they bail out. They're going to do their own thing. Why does every kid on the planet want a job at 14 years old? Because they want their own money. They want their own things. And as parents, somehow we convince them it's a good thing. Then they can buy their cell phone. Before you know it, they want a car. Now they have to work. You got a 15-year-old kid out there, he has to work. I'm not saying you shouldn't make your children responsible. Don't take this to extreme what I'm saying. But also, when we create a system, what you're really doing is feeding a little rebel is what you're doing. And they're rebellious, and all of a sudden they think, this is my money. I got this, and now I can do what I want. And all of a sudden try to tell them to be in by 10 o'clock and see what kind of response you get. It ain't going to go so well. See, what they're really doing is they keep withstanding authority and leadership in their life. Dangerous, man. Very dangerous. They withstood Moses. It says, and they resisted the truth of what the Bible says. If you put any kind of resistance resistance against right, just friction, giving the Bible some friction, the Bible says, yeah, them are people of corrupt minds. That's corruption. It's something we lack in our culture, isn't it? You know what we lack in our culture? Authority. Nobody's afraid of authority anymore. It used to be years ago, it's like, you know what? Yeah, they got into it and it got really bad. And you know what they did? They called the cops. And everybody be like, oh, the cops? The police got involved? Like, and today it's just like, yeah, the police, they make a daily stop over at this place. Everybody's just like, it's just common. It's like, whatever, And we've taken authority from that. It's just a bad, bad deal. You know what it is? It's corruption. They've proven that. A lack of authority in a culture, that culture will multiply in its corruption. Welcome to Chicago. It's just true, right? That's what happens. And the same thing will happen here where we live. The same thing happens in Belize when we go there. It's a 24-hour response time for the police to get there because they hardly have any. So you know what everybody does? They take matters into their own hands. You commit a crime, you got a long time to get away. But if you commit a crime and your neighbor don't like it, he might get another neighbor and you might get your head beaten with the pipe at night. It's a bad system. It's corruption. So remember, leadership in our life, anybody that's in junior high, anybody that's in high school, make sure like your parents, that's an authority in your life. Teachers, That don't mean, hey, you learn the truth. It don't mean people take advantage of you, but you respect, you honor authority. That's what you do. It'll serve you so well. It'll serve, because a lot of young people don't have that. And then, given resistance to the truth. If the Bible says that it's truth, quit giving resistance to it. Why is there friction in this area? Usually there's friction when something's wrong. It's going contrary to my life, and so it's friction. So, okay, that's the warnings. Now, the next two are not this long. That was the longest point. My next two points are quick. I promise. So, first of all, the saved mind for mental health, five warnings in the New Testament, and you should have them down. Watch loading weight on sin that easily besets you. Watch the weight in the vehicle, right? Two, forget the past. You have to let go of the past or you're going to be in deep trouble. Double-minded, be careful chasing two hares. The fourth one is going to be, don't be soon shaken. Don't be that guy or that girl that's easily agitated, right? And thinking something's like disastrous, and you always go to the extreme on this thing. Oh my gosh, you know, Jesus has come back. That's what the church is doing. We think Jesus has come back, and what if he did? And we've been left behind. They're like, settle down. That's not happened. And then Paul starts teaching on it. It's beautiful. The Bible straightens them up. They're not soon shaken anymore. Then the fifth thing is, be careful standing against leadership. Stand in resisting the truth. Be careful to resist the truth. Okay, so we talked about warnings, and now I want to talk to you about, the W word would be here, the word weigh. It's time to weigh in or weigh down on decision making. There's three things the Bible in the New Testament specifically says if you want to have good mental health, you're going to have to battle these three things. You could use the word war here if you want to. So warnings, but now we're going to look at, okay, here's the areas where you're going to have to get down to the nitty gritty, right? Weigh in on these decisions. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. You ready for this one? Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Romans 12, 16. High things versus low things. Now, I'm not saying like success, because some people just say, hey, just settle for the D, right? D's can still get degrees, right? Right? It's not talking about that. But it says, watch when we're after high things. And it says, no, you condescend to men of low estate. Jesus said it best too, like, don't walk in the place acting like you own it and one of them sitting in the front row. You walk right up and then somebody's got to come to the wedding and go, hey, sir, I got news for you. These are for the important people in their life. You don't belong here. To the back row, my friend. You know, that's embarrassing. Instead of coming in and just taking a seat right in the back. Where you belong, that would be the humble thing to do, wouldn't it? That's what Jesus says. So guys, listen, we need to be careful of minding high things. We need to be a humble people. Matthew 23 says, people that exalt themselves will get lowered. People that will humble themselves will get lifted up. You would rather be the girl that gets lifted up instead of one that has to be put down. That's what happens when somebody wants to resist the authority in their life as a dad. What do I got to do with my kids? I'll put them down. Take a seat. I watched my brother one time. He nosed up to my dad. We're both teenagers, and he stepped up to my dad's face. You know what my dad did? My dad put him down. And my dad was disabled. I had a lot of respect for my dad. I realized a little bit of man strength that day. My dad spun my brother around. My brother was 3 years older than me. My dad spun him around, and head first, poop, he went down. I was like, Pops. Holy night. My dad's like, turn those glasses into contacts. That's what he did. So, mind not high things, things that are lofty. And so we set our heights on those sometimes, like things that, you know, we want the best of those things. And you guys know how it is. My dad was disabled. My poor mom was barely scraping by, didn't even graduate from high school, so she didn't make pennies. And I remember you're going to school. And guys, and the school I went to, and it's just as bad today, man, you know, shoes was a sign. That's who you were. And, you know, and that's when Jordans first came out. And so, like, I'm like, hey, Mom, I need some shoes for school. She's like, no problem. And we had a Kmart right down by our house. I was like, I can't have shoes from Kmart no more. You know, and all of a sudden, it just required so much. And we were like not happy with, you know, generic shoes, you know. And I remember having some shoes. I got to junior high school and I walked. My shoes looked good. They were high tops, you know. I was walking around and the kid said to me, you know, he says, "Them shoes, they're pleather. You're wearing pleather." And I was like, "Pleather? What's pleather?" He said, "That leather's plastic, my friend. You got fake shoes on." Hurt my feelings. So then I had to stick my pleather shoes. You can finish the rest of that sentence. That's what I wanted to do. Hey, mind not high things. Hey, we're being warned here. Weigh in on this thing. Sometimes the things we seek after are lofty, and the Bible says you and me. You know what? We need to be a people that we are humbled people, and we take the low spot. That's what we do. Even when we talk with people, we want to hear what they have to say. We always want to exalt ourselves. We're taught this a lot, too. We're just taught this to, like, you know, brand yourself. So that we brand ourselves and, like, you know, we put it out there. And the Bible says high things versus low things. That's the first thing we got to weigh in on today. Take the low spot. I'm telling you, take the low spot. You'll win every time. Watch it. I had a kid one time and we were going at it a little bit. And this kid had a big upper body. And I remember, man, he pushed against me and got the best of me. And he was driving me backwards. It was embarrassing. He drove me backwards and eventually kind of threw me, and I, like, lost it. And everybody's, you know, around, "Wah, ooh." I said, "This dude's in trouble." But the only way he was in trouble is when I got lower. I went up to him, and he thought I was coming. Man, you know how it is, going down for the single or the double, man. I just went down, and I scooped him up. Then everybody's like, "Ah!" I just got lower. When you're lower, you win. It's true. The Bible says you'll be exalted. When I know who I am in life, try to be something I'm not. And you know what Jesus tends to do is lift me up. What about the ladies that spoke today? Would you not listen to that story and say, "Them some winners. Them girls is winners." But I'll tell you, humble beginnings. Low. Just low. And God says, "I'm going to pick you up." And he picks you up. Be careful minding high things. The next one is in 2 Corinthians 11:3. The battle is going to be, you got to weigh in on minds. He says, be careful that your mind would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's a simplicity of being a Christian. Don't lose that. So you know what the next one is? The complex versus the simple. The complex versus the simple. We live in a complex world. They want you to get wrapped around in it. You have to have the latest app. You got to be on top of it, right? And your world becomes very complex. And you lose it. And then you go over, and the most peaceful people you know is like your grandparents. And they're sitting living this simple life. They slow everything down. You're like, there's something about this that's peaceful, isn't it? Yeah, it's because we choose complexity. And it's not good. We should listen to this, that Brené Brown, she got real famous. Not necessarily a Christian lady, but she got real famous on she's a sociologist. And she spoke on one of those TED Talks, and it got millions and millions of hits. She said, crazy busy is a great armor. It's a great way for numbing. What a lot of us do is that we stay so busy and so out in front of our life that the truth of how we're feeling and what we really need can't catch up with us. Really good. Crazy busy is a great armor. It's a great way of numbing. We keep busy, 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 real busy. And so that's why camp was so great. We all, you know, said no cell phones. And all of a sudden you're like, my gosh, it's amazing. I go out my porch in the morning. There's an app on your phone, and I don't got this app. I just want you to know this. I'm not that old yet. I'm getting there. But it's a bird calling app. You can, once it'll hear a bird, it's kind of like Shazam. It'll tell you what song's playing. You'll hear a bird, and it'll just say, yeah, that's a red-headed woodpecker. I'm like, well, I knew that because he was knocking on my door, you know. But it'll tell you things like, it'll name things. It'll say, that is a, you know, I forget what some of them were, but like, I didn't know that bird lived in Illinois. I never even heard of that bird. Yeah, he's in your tree. Isn't that crazy? But you gotta stop. You gotta listen to that stuff. You don't, with noise going on, if your world is so complex, you miss sometimes the simple. I created a routine in my life, and I even did it this morning. I don't always get to do it on Sundays because I'm so busy on Sundays. I got a cup of coffee early, man. I went out on that porch and just sat down there with my Bible. And, man, you ought to heard all the noises I could hear. I'm like, man, normally I don't hear this thing because my life, I complicate it. I'd rather have the TV on. you think, oh my gosh, it's so hot out here. You know, then you sit still and realize there's a real slight breeze. It ain't that bad. You don't know it till you stop. It's simple. And there's a simplicity that's in Christ. So Christian, it's like chasing two hares. Get this singleness of mind down and the complexity. It gets complex when your kids decide they're going to sign up for every activity under the sun. It gets so complex. And you know what the Bible says? There's a simplicity in Christ. It's not that hard. Watch this, Mom and Dad. Here's how simple it is. No. I can't believe you'd say no to me. Well, let me say it again. No. It's not the best move for us. It's not the best move for you. We're way too busy. That's just going to complete. It's kind of like we were talking the other night. I sent a text to a few people, and I just remember saying, well, if we have a meeting at this time, then we could all get home for dinner. We eat dinner between usually 5:30 and 6, and I was like, not everybody lives that life anymore. It's so complex. You get teenagers in your house. Everybody eats on their own time frame, right? And I just think maybe we could live a little more simple. And I know, you know, for those of us that are older, it's like, okay, leave it to Beaver, right? You know, I know them days are past us, but to sit down together around a table and look at each other's faces. No cell phones, like nobody's in there, just, but we're looking at each other, talking, asking real questions. There's something that's so simple and beautiful about it. Try it. Try it. Pick a night this week if that ain't happened in your home and just say, I want everybody around the table. When do you work? When do you work? Okay, it looks like we can do Wednesday. Everybody, Wednesday night this week, everybody, it's going to be quiet. We're going to sit around the table and then do stupid things too. We do ridiculous things sometimes. It's been a while since we have, but complex versus simple. Let me give you the last one on the war, on the weighing in on decision making. It's Philippians 3:19. He says, mind not earthly things. Don't put your mind on things of the earth. Because guys, listen, the Bible says one day the earth will burn with a fervent heat. Don't mind those things. Don't put all of your energy on it. If it can burn in a fire, be careful. Don't live for it. Right? That's why even, oh, I got to get my kid these shoes. I got to get my kids these presents. I got to get my wife this. And they say the best thing you could do is make memories. Why don't you make a memory? Because it lasts, man. You can't light that up and burn it, right? So if you can put your hands on it, we should just put tape everywhere on things and just say, this won't last. This will burn. Burnable, burnable, burnable. Everything's burnable, 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 everything. And that means then don't live for it. Mind not earthly things. We're supposed to be heavenly minded, the Bible says, right? Heavenly minded. Ephesians 2 says, when I got saved, I was seated in heavenly places. I should think a little more spiritual, a little more relational, right? And not just earthly. So there's the three things that you got under weighing in on decision making for your mental health. High things versus low things. Complex things versus simple things. Earthly versus the heavenly. And then the last one, there's one verse I'm going to show you. If you want to take your Bible and go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and I'll land the airplane. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it actually says in verse, if you look at verse 3, it tells us that the very last part of that verse says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Your mind's going to be wearied and faint if you don't do what's ahead of this. So we better go up in front and read what's ahead of it. Everybody look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself. And if you don't consider Jesus, you are going to get wearied and faint in your mind. Because life's hard. It's very, very, very tough. Jesus said he endured the cross. He despised the shame. I like that. Like he had to get through the tough. And the whole point is Paul says, I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He says in verse 2, you better look to Jesus. We tend to want to compare ourselves to other people. And when you do that, the Bible says in Corinthians, that is not wise. Don't do that. Because all you got to do is find a nutty neighbor. You just got to find a bad parent to say, see, I'm not doing that bad. That's stupid. The Bible says that's not wise. But Austin, our standard is the Bible. Our standard is Jesus Christ. So the last point is this. We talk about warning. We talk about like warring, making those decisions, weighing down the, and the third one just to be, what are you watching? The watch. The watch has got to be Jesus. Period. That's it. Consider Jesus. Consider him. Look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look to other people. Look to Jesus. Look to the Word. Mental health, look to Jesus. Because a lot of times people will go through bad things. And you're like, well, then what's going to happen to you? Are you going to lose your mind now? Are you going to lose your mind? My neighbor has a son and his grandson. They live far away, several states down. And he's told me yesterday, he says, man, my grandson's really struggling. I said, really? What's up? He says, you know, he plays competitive baseball. And I say, oh, yeah. I've seen, some, he shows me videos of his, you know, how good he is. And he said, yeah, kid he's played baseball with since he's been like in kindergarten. So the last 4 or 5 years they play ball together. His mom went in just to wake him up one morning and he was dead. How old is he? That was a kid, man. He was, and my grandson, like, he's struggling, like, he don't want to go to the funeral. And we're like, well, don't make him. You know, it's a, most adults, I mean, we all fall to pieces at times. We'll fall to pieces when somebody's aged and we know they're going to pass away of natural causes like age. And it's still sometimes some people don't ever recover. And you'll be in the midst of some traumatic situation and somebody will start losing their mind and you'll start talking to them. They'll just be like, man, I lost my aunt when I was. And you're like, wow, that's a hardcore issue dealing with death, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. Them are hard things to go. How do people make it? Because the world goes on. The clock never stops. You know, well, I like what Tricia said. What happened when she lost her brother? She's right in the middle of school and school don't stop. But her world wanted to come to a halt. And it kind of did. And she said, but yet I had to keep going. Part of that I know is the process of natural healing. But it ain't no joke. So that's why the Bible says, you know what we do? We look to Jesus. And guys, some of my greatest sufferings as a pastor, I look to Jesus. And you know what he says? Well, he says clearly in his word, now you understand, me and you can fellowship a little bit because we fellowship in suffering. And that's why, you know, you get around a certain group of people, like I'm sure people that struggle with some serious addictions, you guys can get with them and feel like, I feel like I've known these people for a while. I know that you connect with them on that level, isn't it? And so you and me, it's just like when we suffer and life is tough. You know what Jesus did? He endured the cross. There was a joy set before him. Gang, if we don't have a joy set before us, life is going to beat us up, man. We're going to be so mentally unhealthy. We're going to be sick. We're just going to be clearly sick in the head. And it's easy to get that way, isn't it? Well, that's it. Five warnings, you should have them down. I don't have to repeat them again. The second one is weigh down the decisions. There's three of them, right? Where are you going to go with that? High-minded, low-minded, complex, simple. The last one, we got to look to Christ. Look to Christ. People used to wear bracelets back in the day. So they're still around. What would Jesus do, you know? They would have them initials on there. What would Jesus do? That is a good thing to do when you hit something. You just say, man, I always say, what's Jesus say about this? What's the Bible say? How should we handle this? This is rough, isn't it? Yes, it's rough. And you're going to lose your business if you ain't careful. The soup is about to spill, man. You better figure it out. Right? And how we're going to figure it out? We got the mind of Christ. Guys, we don't have to lose our minds. And I've seen people go through the most tragic things in life. And when they know Jesus, they come out. You ever go to the nursing home? We used to go to the nursing home and speak there. It's like, you know who the believers are. Because they are losing their stuff in there. Their marbles are all over the floor, you know. And you can just tell them, like, man, that lady's sweet. Yeah, she's a sweet Christian lady. She's got her Bible marked in her, got scripture in there, got Amazing Grace hanging on the wall. You know, then you got some other guy over there, and he's got his pants down. He's cursing, saying bad things to the nurse. They're like, that guy's a rascal. Yeah, he is. And some people say, oh, that's him just because he's lost his marbles. Let me tell you what a lot of things is. That's the juice you get. He's being squeezed. And the juice coming out on the floor is nothing but perverted things, isn't it? That's what's on the inside. So the squeeze is coming, right? So what's the juice on the inside? And we as Christians should be mentally healthy. It don't mean our lives are perfect. It don't mean we have money in the bank. It don't mean our kids have perfect lives. They never cause us any trouble. It don't mean any of that stuff. It means in the midst of that stuff, I'm a stable man because I've renewed my mind with the mind of Christ. That's what it means. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, we love it, man. We love the Bible. It keeps us so centered and so focused. And God, a lot of us, we easily get unhealthy in the way we think. And so, Lord, all these things, we just want to commit them to not just our memory. We want to commit them to action. So, Lord, I want to pray for the man, the woman in the room here this morning that might be super unstable right now. And I pray they would be so attracted to you. I want to pray for the lost woman or man that they would know you and begin the process of having a renewed mind of some clean, clear thinking. So Jesus, we love you. And Lord, I pray that, I pray, man, life is good and you keep us safe till we come back tonight at 6 and we remember you. I want to pray for the Lord's Supper tonight that it would be really sweet. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the music today, the testimonies. It's been beautiful to be here. I'll remember this one for a long time. Thank you. Thanks for the gift today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.